إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. We give thanks to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muharrar fil Hadith, written by Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi rahimahullah ta'ala. Est-ce que tu finis? Et où ma boute font les fous? Où ma boute font les dommages du temps? Font les. Written by Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi rahimahullah ta'ala, still on Kitab al-Tahara and the chapter of ablution. وزاد أبو داود في رواية إذا توضأت عن أبو داود increased or added in his own report إذا توضأت if you perform ablution فمدمج دو مدمض ورواه الدولابي فيما جمعه من حديث الثوري ولفظ إذا توضأت فأبلغ في المضمضة والاستنشاق ما لم تكن صائما. And Abdullahi, in what is he has collected from the hadith of Thawri, added, وَلَفْظُ the wording is إِذَا تَوَضَّأْتَ when you perform ablution فَأَبْلِغْ فِي الْمَضْمَضَ. He said, make sure you do the madmada thoroughly, وَالِسْتِنْشَاكْ, that is the rinsing of the mouth, do it thoroughly, while it's in shock, and the inhaling and exhaling of water. Ma lam takun sa'iman, as long as you are not fasting. Wa sahahahu ibn al-Qattan, and Ibn al-Qattan declared this to be authentic. This hadith is used as evidence by those scholars who are of the opinion that rinsing of the mouth and inhaling and exhaling of water while performing ablution, or while taking the ghusl of janaba or ghusl of hajj, is compulsory. So this hadith is used by them. So everyone. Eh? Okay. So, this hadith is used as evidence by those people who are of the opinion that rinsing of the mouth and inhaling and exhaling of water is compulsory while performing ablution. Likewise, why taking the ghusl of janaba or the ghusl of hajj. However, we mentioned that the jumhur of the scholars were of the opinion that this is not compulsory. They see it as something of recommendation. However, the position that it is compulsory is very strong, as we mentioned the other time. When Ibn Abbas called Tawaddu al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marratan marra, Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed ablution once. That is, washing the parts of ablution once, rather than doing it three times or doing it two times. Instead, he did it once. As long as the compulsory is bag is done, which is to let water go around the compulsory aspects. As long as water goes round the compulsory aspects, then one has done what is called what? Isbagul Udu. But as I mentioned the other time, that Isbagul Udu has two meanings. It may mean doing it, that is washing the path of ablution more than once, like doing it three times. This is also called Isbag. Doing it by washing the necessary places and allowing water to go around them is also called Isbag. So, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Asbighul Udu," or Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, "What? Asbighul Udu," it means both. That is, do the compulsory aspects. Let water touch the compulsory aspects. You know, Abu Radallah, and you said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wailun il aqab min an-nar," woe to the eels in hellfire. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this when he saw some companions performing ablution and they were not washing their legs thoroughly, not allowing water to get to some parts of their legs. So he said, "Wailu lil aqab min an-nar," woe to some eels in hellfire. So Abu Radiallahu anhu said to the people, "Asbighul Udu," make sure you do isbag of ablution. So the idea is that isbag, as far as ablution is concerned, has two meanings: ta'amim, at-ta'amim, wa shumul, to allow water touch the necessary aspects, to allow water go around the necessary aspects, the compulsory aspects. This is called what? Al-Isbag. Another meaning for isbag in ablution is to do the washing more than once. Though the first washing is enough, but one wants to get more reward by doing it the second time and the third time. So this is also called what? Isbag. So when isbag is used, so it may refer to the two. One Abdullah ibn Zayd, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم توضأ مرتين مرتين رواه البخاري. عبد الله بن زيد also said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم did the washing in his ablution twice. So this and the first one, that is that of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and that of Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, these two reports were reported by al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. So when you see somebody performing ablution once or twice, there is nothing wrong in this, as long as the water touches the compulsory aspects. So this is isbagul udu. Though doing it three times or two times may be better at times. Likewise, it is permissible to do some three times, to do some, that is some part, twice, to do some once. All of these are permissible. So we have it, Abdullah ibn Abbas said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawadda marra. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did udu once. Abdullah ibn Zayd said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did udu twice. But the common ablution of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to do it three times. And this is better. With it, one can ascertain that one has really done his bag. That is, no part of the areas that are supposed to be washed have been left unwashed. So this is what is chosen. So no part of the ablution has been left unwashed. So if this is done, it's better than doing it once or doing it twice. But we cannot say that of once or twice is not okay, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also did ablution in that way. وعن عامر بن شقيق بن جمرة عن أبي وائل عن عثمان رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان يخلل لحيته رواه ابن ماجه والترمذي وصححه ابن خزيمة وابن حبان وقال البخاري هو أصح شيء في هذا الباب. عامر the son of Shaqiq, the son of Jamra, reported from Abu Wa'il. Abu Wa'il reported from Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, who reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, annahu kana yukhallilu lihiyata, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pass his fingers through his beard. Ibn Majah, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Khuzayma, Ibn Hibban, they all recorded this. وقال البخاري, الإمام البخاري said, وأصح شيء في هذا الباب. It is the most authentic report as far as this matter is concerned. When the scholars of Hadith said, this is the most authentic as far as what this matter is concerned, that doesn't mean it is authentic. That is, there are various reports. The best of all the reports is this. That does not mean that one itself is what is authentic. And that's why some scholars have said that لَا يَسِحُ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that is authentic as far as this matter is concerned. As far as this matter is concerned. That is the ahadith on this matter. For those who authenticated some of the ahadith, they will use those ahadith. Like this one, for instance, that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yukhallilu lihyata, that he will run his fingers through his beard. This is fi'l, is a practice. Wal fi'lu la yadullu ala al-ujub. And the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not mean it is compulsory. Does not mean it is compulsory. So those scholars who say running of the fingers through the beard is not compulsory, they said, even let's assume that this hadith is authentic, it does not mean it is compulsory to do that. And this is the view of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala and some others. Some of the opinion that it is compulsory in ghusl, it is compulsory in ghusl but not compulsory in ablution. If one is taking the ghusl of janaba or one is taking any other ghusl, that it will be compulsory on one. That is when I say another ghusl like that of the ghusl of Jum'ah. Though if one performs ablution in the ghusl of Jum'ah, one can go ahead to pray with it. But the ghusl of janaba, whether you perform ablution or not, as long as you have taken the ghusl, you can still use the ghusl to perform ablution even when you do not do ablution in it. So some of the opinion that it is only compulsory in ghusl of janaba to do that, based on some report that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said, تحت كل شعرة جنابة فأغسل اللحية, أو كما قال, that is, there is جنابة under every hair. So he said, what, وأنقل بشرة, and the بشرة, that is the skin, make sure you make it clean. فأغسل الشعر وأنكو البشرة, that is the شعر, the air. So make sure that what you wash it and the body, you make it clean. But this hadith is also is da'if. The hadith is da'if. So, and that's why some do not differentiate between the lihya, whether in ghusl or in ablution. Some said in ablution is not compulsory. Why? In what? In ghusl of janaba, it is compulsory. And this is the favored opinion of Ash-Shafi'i and some others. Imam Ahmad also in the report. But they all agree it is good for one to do. It is good for one to do. Particularly, as we said, as some scholars, of the opinion that one has to do it, that it is compulsory. There is a hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, and he said, "Akaza amarani Rabbi." This is how my Lord has instructed me. So they use this hadith to say it is compulsory to do tahlilu lihya. For this hadith, there is comment on it as well, and that's why it was said that there is no hadith that is free from comment. Among the hadith that talked about running the fingers through the beard, there is no hadith that is free of comment. The best of this hadith is this one, that is the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is the best hadith on this matter. But as we said, that a lot of scholars also said it is da'if. However, The way to go about it when you want to do it, as we said before, the one who has thick beard, so washing the surface of the beard is enough. But the one whose beard is very light, to the extent that one can see the skin through, the skin of the beard of the person can be seen. So in this case, it will be compulsory or recommended for one to make sure water gets to the skin. But if the beard is thick, we won't say it is compulsory for one to make sure that water gets to the skin. We won't say that it's compulsory for one to make sure water gets to the skin because the beard is thick. But if it is not thick, so those who have said that it is compulsory, so they will say one, it has to get to the skin. And since it is the beard is soft and very light, so it will be easy for water to penetrate and get to the skin. So this is on that. The author, Al-Imam Ibn Abd al-Hadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, وَعَامِرْ بِنْ شَقِيكِ بِنْ جَمْرَى دُعَافَوْ إِبْنِ مَعِينَ. Ibn Ma'in said, he is da'if. وقال النسائي, الإمام النسائي said, ليس بي باس. That is somebody that is still manageable. وقال أبو حاتم said, لا يثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تحليل اللحية حديث. There is no authentic hadith from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning running of the fingers through the beard. No authentic hadith. Now these are statements of some of the scholars. There are other scholars who have said something similar, different from what other scholars have said on this matter. And that's why there will be issues that the scholars will continue to differ over. And each one of them will only act based on their conviction. They worship Allah with that. As we said now, this issue of tahlil ul-lihya, running the fingers through the beard, is mas'ala khilafiyya ishtihadiyya. It's a matter that is subjected to difference of opinion. That difference of opinion in it is welcome. So, but they all agree that it is good if one does it. So the issue is only whether it is compulsory, not compulsory. This is where they differ. Is it compulsory in ablution? Likewise in ghusl of janaba? Or it is only compulsory in ablution, not compulsory? It is only compulsory in ghusl of janaba, not compulsory in ablution? Or it is not compulsory in both? Some scholars have said this. They said the view that it is not compulsory in this and in this is the view of Imam Malik. It is compulsory in ghusl, is the view of Ash-Shafi'i and some others. That is compulsory in both. This is the view of the Zahiriya. This is the view of the Zahiriya. So, and that is why it is important for us to know where differences of opinion will be welcome and which matters differences of opinion are not welcome in them. So concerning the recommendation and disparagement of the ruwat, you see that some have said what? This person is da'if. Some said la basabi. Da'if, la basabi. It depends on the way scholars see individuals. As long as this is not said based on hawa that is self-desire, they said it based on what is clear to them. And this is what they worship Allah with. If somebody says a particular person is mubtadi, for instance, is an innovator, based on the research that he has made and based on his conviction. So we'll not hold him responsible. That's why must you say the Mubtadi, based on his own what? Conviction. And if another person sees him in a different way, as long as the parties involved are people who are sincere and people who are speaking based on knowledge, not based on whims and caprices, so will not say they are what? They are held responsible, or we take them up seriously on that. وعن سنان بن ربيعة عن شعر بن حوشب عن أبي أمامة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الأذنان من الرأس وكان يمسح رأسه مرة ويمسح المعقين رواه ابن ماجه. Sinan the son of Rabi'ah reported from Shahar the son of Aushab and Abi Umama from Abu Umama al-Bahili, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-udhnani min al-ras, the two ears are part of the edge. The two ears are part of the edge. وَكَانَ يَمْسَأُ رَأْسَهُ مَرَّةً. He will wipe his head once. وَيَمْسَأُ الْمَأْكَيْنِ. And he will also wipe or wash الْمَأْكَيْنِ. الْمَأْكَيْنِ is below the eyes. The area very close to the eye. This is the mark. That the dual is al-ma'aqan. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was said to wash the ma'aqil. The way you wash what? The two ears, you also wash the ma'aqil. Make sure that water touches or touch this area. So the author says, Ibn Majah recorded this. وسنان سنان بن ربيعة روى له البخاري حديثا مقرونا بغيره. البخاري reported a hadith from him in conjunction with another person. وقال النسائي said ليس بالقوي ليس بالقوي. سنان بن ربيعة is not قوي. وشعر بن حوشب شعر بن أوشب وثقه أحمد. أحمد said he is ثقه. وابن معين وغيرهما. Likewise ابن معين وغيرهما and other than أحمد and ابن معين. وتكلم فيه غير واحد من الأئمة. وتكلم فيه غير واحد من الأئمة. He said more than one scholar of hadith also criticized or condemned him. They disparaged him. وروى له مسلم مقرونا بغيره. Muslim reported from him that is in conjunction with another person. والصواب, the author says what is correct. أن قوله الأذنان من الرأس موقوف على أبي أمامة. That الأذنان من الرأس, to say the two ears are part of the edge. What is correct? This is the view of the author. Al-Hafiz ibn Abd al-Hadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said to say the two ears are part of the edge. That statement is mawkufun ala Abi Umama. It's a statement of Abu Umama and not the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kadhalika rawahu Abu Dawood wa qalahu Darqutni wallahu alamu. And this is what Abu Dawood reported. And Darqutni also said this, wallahu a'lam. This is another evidence for what I said. The scholars may differ concerning the authentication or the authentication of a hadith. They may disagree concerning the disparagement and recommendation of a particular reporter. This isn't an issue. The one who is a student of knowledge can also carry out his own research to know whether to agree with this scholar or to agree with this scholar. So scholars have not ceased to disagree with one another over a particular reporter. They've not ceased to disagree with one another over a particular hadith. Is it authentic or not? And there are ahadith, so many ahadith, that they all agree that the hadith is authentic, they are authentic. And there are many ahadith as well that they all agree that those ahadith are not authentic. However, there are some ahadith that disagree whether they are authentic or not. This one will say this, this one will say this. And this is based on what is clear to every one of them. So they will say what they know about the matter. So the hadith al-Udnani min al-Ras, the two ears are part of the head. This hadith, a lot of scholars of hadith have said the hadith is not authentic. Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala established that the hadith is authentic. And he did a very good work. One of his students, Sheikh Mashur Hassan al-Salman, did another research on the same hadith as is contained in the Tahqiq of Al-Khilafiyat of Al-Bihaqi. And his own conclusion is that the hadith is what? Is authentic. I thought it's da'if. It's weak. The hadith is what? Is weak. He knew that his teacher was of the opinion that the hadith is authentic. But his own research led him to say the hadith is not authentic. The teacher was also aware of the conclusion of his student. So this is not an issue. This is an academic work. That is, who say what his conviction leads into. And this will say what his own conviction also leads into. So Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala said his hadith is what is mutawatir ma'nawi, that is ma'nawi, ma'nawiyan. If you look at the meaning, the hadith is like what? Mutawatir. Not in terms of the shade, but in terms of the ma'na, the meaning. So he believed that Al-Udnani min al-Ras. So those who believe that Al-Udnani min al-Ras, the 2 ears are part of the edge. So it is simple. When you wipe your head and there is what? Just remnant of water. You can use it to rub the ear. Because it's like what? You are rubbing the head too. Since the 2 ears are part of the head. The 2 ears are part of the head. So all those who believe the hadith is not authentic, that the hadith is not authentic. So some will say, you take fresh water in order to rub the ear. You take fresh water to rub the ear, not the remnant water that you use. Then some will say, there is no harm. Even if you use the remnant water to rub the ear, the remnant water that you use during the wiping of the edge, the remnant water can still be used to wipe the ears. Despite the fact that those scholars believe that what? The hadith is what? Is da'if. But they believe you can still use the remnant water. However, as for wiping the ear or rubbing the ear with fresh water other than the water used before, this, there is nothing wrong in it. In fact, it may be better. Because Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala recorded in Al-Muwatta from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma that Abdullah ibn Umar would take fresh water to rub the ear. Would take fresh water to rub the ear. So rubbing the ear with fresh water is better. But if one does not do that, that one use the remnant water from the edge to do it, to do the rubbing of the ear, this is also okay. rubbing the wiping of the edge with fresh water. This is also established in Sahih Muslim that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam matha bi rasihi bima'in ghayri fadli yadi, masaha bi rasihi bima'in ghayri fadli yadi aw ghayri fadli yadi. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wipes the edge with water, fresh water, other than the one that he has used before, other than the one that he has used before. So now we have two issues. You want to wipe your edge, should you take fresh water? It is good if you take fresh water to wipe your edge. You want to wipe your ear, should you take fresh water? It is good if you take fresh water to wipe your ear. But in both cases, what if you use remnant water of your hand to wipe your edge? Is there any issue? Some scholars say there is no harm. The most important thing is what? Is to wipe the edge. Whether you use remnant water from your hand, or you use remnant, or you use fresh water. Using fresh water to rub the ear is better. But if you use the remnant water from the edge, this is also what? This is okay. And this, wallahu alam, appears to be the more correct position on this matter. Wa shu'ba an Habib bin Zayd an Abbad bin Tamim an Abdullah bin Zayd an an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam utiya bi sulsay mud fatawadda faja'ala yadluk zira'ayhi. Shu'ba reported from Habib bin Zayd, who reported from Abbad bin Tamim, who reported from Abdullah bin Zayd, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam utiya bi sulsay mud, that two-thirds of a mud was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatawadda, he performed ablution. Faja'ala yadliku zira'ayhi, and he was rubbing. He was rubbing his two arms. ورواه أحمد وأبو يعلى. الإمام أحمد reported this. وأبو يعلى عن أبو يعلى وابن خزيمة عن ابن خزيمة في صحيح إن الصحيح واللفظ له. This wording is the wording of Ibn Khuzaymah وابن حبان عن ابن حبان. وحبيب بن زيد وثقه النسائي وغيره. النسائي and others declared him to be thicker. وقال أبو حاتم and أبو حاتم said هو صالح. He is صالح. That is this hadith can be used. So this tells us the amount of water that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will use for his ablution. And it also tells us that rubbing of the areas of ablution, that is the part of ablution, is sunnah. Is sunnah to do that. But is it compulsory to rub it? Is it compulsory to rub it? It is not compulsory to rub it. It is sunnah to do that. وعن نعيم المجمر قال. From نعيم المجمر قال, he said, رأيت أبا أريرة رضي الله عنه يتوضأ. I saw Abu Huraira perform ablution. فغسل وجهه. He washed his face. فأصبغ الوضوء, and he did the ablution thoroughly. We said, إصباغ الوضوء, doing ablution thoroughly, has two meanings. Has two meanings. The first meaning is to make sure that the compulsory aspects of the ablution are done correctly. Water touch the necessary aspects of ablution. This is called isbagul wudu. That is to make water go around the areas that water should touch. This is called isbagul wudu. Another meaning of isbagul wudu is to do it more than one time. You are washing the hands, you wash it twice, three times, rather than washing it once. This is also isbagul wudu, as mentioned earlier. So Naim al-Mujmir said, Ra'aytu Aba Urayra, I saw Abu Urayra, may Allah be pleased with him, yatawadda, performing ablution. Faghasala wajha, he washed his face. Fa'asbagha al-wudu'a, he did isbagul wudu. Thumma ghasala yadahu al-yumna, he washed his right hand. Hatta ashra'a fil adud. Hatta ashra'a fil adud. Till he almost got to the upper arm. This is adud. This is al-adud. This is the upper arm. This is al-zira'a, the lower arm. This is al-adud, the upper arm. So he washed his hands till he almost got to the adud, to the upper arm. Meaning, he exceeded the elbow. He exceeded the elbow a bit. He exceeded the elbow a bit till he almost got to the upper arm. This is Naim al-Mujmir describing the ablution of Abu Urayra. Thumma ghasala yadahu al-yusra, later, or he then washed his left hand, hatta ashra'a fil adud, he'll almost go to the upper arm. Thumma masa' bi rasi, after that, he rubbed his head. Thumma ghasala rijlahu al-yumna, then he washed his right leg, hatta ashra'a fi saq, till he almost got to the shank. Till he almost got to the shank, meaning he exceeded the ankles. He exceeded the ankles. Thumma ghasala rijlahu al-yusra hatta ashra'a fi saq. Then he washed his left leg till he almost got to the shank. وقال, after that he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم قال, then he said, هكذا رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوضا. This is how I saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم perform ablution. وقال, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, أنتم الغر المؤجلون يوم القيامة من إصباغ الوضوء. أنتم الغر المؤجلون يوم القيامة من إصباغ الوضوء. You are الغر المؤجلون. That is, you come in beautiful faces, in beautiful appearances. يوم القيامة, on the day of قيامة, من إسباغ الوضوء, because you would do ablution thoroughly, because you would do ablution thoroughly, perfectly. That is, you would do the compulsory aspect of ablution and the recommended ones you also do. Both of them are called إسباغ الوضوء, as we said. You can't do the recommended by adding more than that is compulsory. That is doing the other ones that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also encouraged us to do. You can't do that except that you have fulfilled what is compulsory. And that's why those who busy themselves with nawafil, but they neglected the compulsory. They do not get it. Somebody who is not praying the five daily salawat regularly, but he says he's doing nawafil. No, we have to take care of the compulsory aspect first. أنتم الغر المؤجلون يوم القيامة من إسباغ الأدو فمن استطاع منكم فليتل غرته وتأجيله. Whoever amongst you is able to do the ghurra, whoever amongst you is able to do it all of his ghurra, that is the ghur is the ghurra, that is the duty in the face of a us or so, the appearance of the face of the us, a thing like a whiteness in the face of the us that makes the us look beautiful. This is called what? The ghurra. This is called the ghurra. So a ta'jil has to do with the beauty in the leg of the animal, the hoof of the ox. So this is what? This is the ghurra. So min atharil udu, from the traces of udu. فَمَنْ يَسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّةَ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. So this tells us the importance of doing this. وَرَوَى أَيْضًا مِنْ حَدِيثِ نُعِيمٍ. He also reported, that is Muslim also reported from the hadith of Nu'im al-Mujmir, أَنَّهُ رَأَى أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that he saw Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, يَتَوَضَّأُ, performing ablution. فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ, he washed his face. وَبَدَا فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ وَيَدَيْهِ, he washed his face and his two hands. حَتَّى كَادَ يَبْلُغَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ, he almost got to the mankibayn, the mankibayn, that is the shoulder. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ رِجْلَهُ, originally he washed his two feet, his two legs, at tarafa ila saqay, he almost got to the shanks. Thumma qal, then he said, samitu rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqul, inna ummati ya'tuna yawm al-qiyamati ghurra mu'ajjalin min athar al-wudu. I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, my ummah will come on the day of qiyamah ghurran mu'ajjalin, with beautiful faces and beautiful legs, min athar al-udu, due to the ablution. فَمَنْ يَسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّتَهُ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Whoever can lengthen his ghurra, his beauty, فَلْيَفْعَلْ, he should do. وَرَوَى الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ حَدِيثَ نُعَيْمٍ, الإمام أحمد reported the hadith of Nu'im al-Mujmir, wa zada fi, and he added, wa qala Nu'im, Nu'im said, la adri qawluhu man istata'a minkum ayutilla ghurrata falyafal min qawli Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aw min qawli Abi Urayra. This addition that whoever can lengthen his ghurra, his beauty, should do, is this statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu? He said, I can't see. That is Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, reported from Nu'im al-Mujmir. Nu'im al-Mujmir radiallahu anhu wa rahimahullahu ta'ala had Abu Huraira say this. But whose statement is فَمَنْ يَسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّةَ فَلْيَفْعَلْ, is this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or statement of Abu Huraira? So Nu'im said, I can't tell, but the message is that we lengthen our ghurra. That's the message, we lengthen our ghurra. You want to perform your ablution, it is good if you can exceed the elbow a bit. It is good if you can exceed the elbow a bit, as if you are going to the upper arm. With this, you are sure that you have washed the elbow. But if you try to stop at the elbow, you may not have washed the elbow completely, or you may have left part of it unwashed. And that is why Abu Uraidah who performed his ablution hatta ashra'a fil adud, hatta ashra'a fil saq, so that what he will do is baghul udu. It will be clear that he has really touched the compulsory aspects by going a bit above the elbows. And Abu Uraidah said he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did ablution this way. Not that it's something he introduced by himself, that he make us say what, that is what, his own opinion, or that is bid'ah. No, he said he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform ablution this way. But the only thing is that addition, man istata'a minkum an yutila gurratahu falyaf'al, whoever can lengthen his gurra should do. So this is the one that we can see whether is the statement of Abu Uraira or the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some scholars concluded that it is a statement of Abu Uraira, just like the statement Asbighul Udu is also a statement. In that Asbighul Udu, what is correct is that Wailu al-Aqab in an-Nar is a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Asbighul Udu is the statement of Abu Uraira. Man istata'a minkum an yutila ghurrata falyaf'al. This addition is also the statement of Abu Uraira radiallahu anhu, encouraging people to do isbagh of wudu. But the one that is established is that he would do that, and he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform ablution till he exceeded the elbows, till he exceeded the ankles. He saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform ablution this way. So this is to do the tahqiq of al-isbat, to perform ablution thoroughly. So don't allow any part of the ablution aspects to go untouched with water. Even if it is just what is as small as the edge of a finger. As small as what? The edge of the finger. If one does not touch it with water, one has no ablution. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to a man who performed ablution that way, he said to him, he said, if Abu Ahsin, Udu'ak, go and perfect your ablution. That is the report of Muslim. In another hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, it was said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man and he could see the traces of water not touching a part of his leg. And the man was praying. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was said, فَأَمَرَهُ أَنْ يُعِيدَ الْوُضُوءَ وَالصَّلَاةَ. He ordered him to renew the ablution, to redo the ablution, and to also repay the salah. Though this other hadith has some comment among the scholars of hadith, but the first one is authentic, that he told him, if Abu Ahsin Udu'ak, go and perfect your wudu. So when we are performing ablution, we should be very, very careful to make sure that the necessary places that water is supposed to touch, we allow water to touch it, so that we will not be praying without ablution, thinking we have ablution. So inshallah, we stop here. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge, and may subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings. Subhanaka la umma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum. Now, it is forbidden that we slap somebody in the face as a way of maybe correcting the person. Maybe the person does something that angers us. So slapping the person in the face is not something that Islam allows. It's not something that Islam allows. However, as human beings, we rush to do things like this. But the ruling is that this is not allowed. So one should avoid slapping in the face. So, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did a kind of comparison with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this aspect. So, it's authentic. Wallahu a'lam. Now, alaykum assalam. Now the question is that, is it permissible for somebody to perform ablution without pouring water on the leg, but just using wet hands to rub the leg until the leg becomes wet, to the extent that you say, okay, so and so person has performed ablution, but water will not drop on the floor? As you said, the most important thing is to make the leg get wet. It's not that the water drop. The most important thing is that we make the place get wet, that is the aspects of ablution get wet, not that the water should be dropping. Sheikh Mashhur Hassan al-Salman said he watched somebody perform ablution in Al-Haram, Al-Makki. The person was sitting beside him, and that person used maybe this cup of water, so to say, or small water. He was sitting beside him, and he performed ablution with a small water without a drop of water touching the ground. Without a drop of water touching the ground. So he was looking at him. So when he saw the way he performed the ablution, he couldn't say, you have not performed ablution, because the areas that are supposed to be touched with water are wet. So at the same time, he was surprised at water not touching the ground. But the man did not want, the reason the man did it, he did not want to go out of the masjid to go to the ablution area, because trying to get back to his place where he was seated would be difficult for him. In fact, they may not allow him to come in. And you see, some people would do that. Some places where they put the Zemzem water for people to drink, So some people will go there, and they perform ablution. That place, it has a water can still drop there, but it's not a place that is really meant for ablution like that. So some people will go there and they perform ablution, they go back to their seat. So not making water to flow, to drop on the ground, that is not the target. The target is to make the necessary aspects of ablution, to make it, to make them wet. And that's the most important. So if the person does it the way you have said, Allahu alam, the ablution is valid. Unless if it is only just ordinary rubbing the hand on it without it being wet, the way the Shia would do. The Shia, they don't wash. They don't wash their legs. So what they do is that they rub their leg. They rub their leg. They don't wash the leg. But Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah, they wash. They wash, not just ordinary rub. So they only rub when they put on socks after they had what? Performed ablution. And they lose that ablution. Rather than taking off the socks. So they rub on it for a whole day. If they are residents and if they are travelers, they do that for 3 days. So Allahu A'lam. Before? Now the question is it permissible to perform part of the ablution somewhere and to move to another place? Maybe you are going to walk about 2-3 minutes before you get to that place to complete the ablution, like the washing of the leg. Yes, this is permissible. This is permissible. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu did this. Abdullah ibn Umar did this. So this is permissible. However, there is what is called as the core al-muwala. Al-muwala is that you shouldn't allow a kind of break between the two aspects of ablution that you want to wash. You shouldn't allow what a kind of a break there. So if you allow it to get dry, for instance, by the time you get to that place, the one that you wash is already dry. So they say you can't build on that. You can't build on it because there is no muwala. There is no muwala. That is, it should be sequential. Sequential. There shouldn't be much delay between this part and the next part. There shouldn't be much delay. So this is called al-muwala. To some scholars, al-muwala is not compulsory. To some, they see it as part and parcel of what? Faraidul Udu, one of the obligations of ablution. One of the obligations of ablution. And the reason some said it is obligatory is the hadith that we quoted earlier, that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the man, Ahsin Udu'ak. Ahsin Udu ak, one perfect to ablution. So they interpreted it to be that since he did not allow water to touch that place, he will have to start afresh. And now we said that hadith does not really suggest the way they interpreted it. As for the other hadith, فَأَمَرَهُ أَنْ يُعِيدَ الْأُدُوءَ الصَّلَاةَ, he ordered him to repeat his wudu and salah. So that one is not authentic. So to the Shafi'iyya, al-muwala in ablution is not compulsory. So, but to avoid this difference of opinion, it is good that if you know that when you delay in it, the areas that you have washed will become dry, then you have to watch, renew the ablution. You have to start afresh. But if what makes it dry quickly is because of the weather condition, maybe it is very hot, for instance. It's hot. That immediately perform ablution now, before even wash the next part, the one you have washed is what? It's already dry. So in a situation like this, al-muwala will not be considered. So the one who is also performing ablution, take for instance, I washed my hands. After the completion of the washing of the hands, my phone rings and I pick the phone. I make a call for about 30 minutes. After the end of the call, I want to continue from what? From rubbing of the air. So this one, it is clear. That's what you can't continue. Those who stipulate muwala will not allow you to continue. Because what has been a kind of interference, so to say, or what has interrupted it, is something that is not caused by the ablution itself or by the weather. Rather, it is your own personal decision. So you have to start afresh. Unlike the case of the maybe the weather that you mentioned, they will say you should continue because you can't help that situation. Immediately you finish this, you see that the first one that you wash is already dry. So Allahu A'lam. You are doing an azkar and you are performing ablution. Now there is no harm. It is not a must that when you are performing ablution you should keep quiet. And there is no specific azkar recommended for every part of ablution. So at the beginning of the ablution you say Bismillah generally. So there is no dhikru that when you want to wash your face, you say dhikru. You want to wash your hand, you say so-and-so dhikru. You want to wash your leg, you say so-and-so dhikru. Until you get to the end of the ablution, that you say what? You say the shahada. So in between, if you do some azkar, not claiming that those azkar are connected to the ablution. No, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? La. يَذَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Your tongue will not cease to be soft. Your tongue will continue to be soft from the remembrance of Allah. So, Aisha radiallahu anha also said, كَانَ رَسُولُ سَلَامٍ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ أَحْيَانِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remember Allah in all situations. So Allah alam. Thank you. Now, I said there is no, the question is which one is better, to take fresh water in order to rub the ears or to use the remnant water from the wiping of the edge to rub the ears. I said what is better is to take fresh water to rub the ears, just as you have taken fresh water to rub the head. That is better. But if you use remnant water to do the rubbing of the ear or the wiping of the ear, it is okay. There is no authentic hadith that says you should take fresh water to rub the ear. No authentic hadith that says that. We have a hadith, but those hadiths are not authentic. However, it is established as containing Muwatta of Imam Malik from the practice of Abdullah ibn Umar that he would take fresh water for the wiping of the ear. And this is what is filu sahabi, a practice of a companion. And if a companion practices something, most likely he may have learnt this from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unless if you have a clear evidence that this is just an ordinary opinion of that companion. So we don't have evidence to say no, that is opinion of a companion. This will be too direct. It will be too direct because these are people who start with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will not throw away what they said or what they practice unless we see clear evidence from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, wallahu a'lam. Now the question is, the one who noticed or observed that part of his leg is not touched with water while performing ablution, what should he do? Should he go and wash that aspect, or he should start afresh? Should he go and touch that aspect, or he should start afresh? Some scholars will say he should start afresh. Why? You already know, those who believe in Muwala, that there should be what? There shouldn't be delay in the aspects. There shouldn't be a delay. And there is delay now. So they say you should start afresh. Some may say what? You should rub that aspect. And if you rub that aspect, that's all. Particularly if it is what? The leg, which is the last part of ablution. So they say that. Don't forget, it is also part of what the scholars will talk about. At-tartib, the orderliness in the performance of ablution. The orderliness, the way it is arranged in the Quran. The face, the hands, the head, the leg. So if somebody forgets, for instance, to wash part of the hand, if somebody forgets to wash part of the hand, and he has already washed the leg. So those who believe in what? In tartib, we say what? He should go back to that place, then he wash accordingly again. How this is clear? He wash the hand, then he will continue from that place to... How this is clear? And some will tell him that what? There is no... there has been what? Delay. There has been delay that you should start afresh. But Allah Alam, he can continue from that place, or he can perfect the areas that he's supposed to perfect. Wallahu Alam. Okay. No. Dubbing with his mouth. Now the question is that somebody says he prefers to take the composite aspect only. That is, he washes his face, his hands, he wipes his edge, he washes the leg, he does not rinse his mouth, he does not inhale and exhale water, he doesn't rub his ears. Is that ablution valid? So the jumhur of the scholars, the ablution is valid. But as you said, the Hanabila, they said, no, you have to wash your mouth. You have to rinse the mouth. You have to inhale and exhale or water. As for the wiping of the ear, to them also is not compulsory, according to the stronger opinion there. They said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said from Sa'u, Fasil wujuhakum, wash your faces. So washing of your face has been described by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Messenger of Allah wanted to describe it, he rinsed his mouth and also inhale and exhale water. And if you look at most ahadith that describes the ablution of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rinsing of the mouth and the inhaling and exhaling of water were mentioned in them. And that's why I said, this is very strong, it's very strong. Though the majority, they said, is not compulsory. So to some scholars, they will say, what? He has no ablution. He has no ablution. Wallahu a'lam. Now the question is that somebody who does not rub the leg, why performing ablution? He doesn't rub it. He only allows water to touch it and the water gets to the necessary place. Is that ablution valid? We said, yes, it's valid. It's valid. Rather than washing your arms, your lower arms up to the elbow, rather than washing by rubbing, so one just puts it maybe in the tap like this, and after all, you see that water has gotten to the necessary place. So the jumhur of the scholars, the ablution is what? Is okay as far as that place is concerned. The Malikiya will say what? Labudda min al-dalk, you have to rub it. You have to what? You have to rub it. But wallahu alam, it is not compulsory. What is compulsory is that water touches the necessary aspects. Wallahu alam. Nam nishoki ikati abarawaso. Ouna ni pa bashinshi alwalata timbarawaso botele. Ni pa alwala timbarawaso botele. Ki ayuwe nunu eleyi lara manabu wa Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi oshiman shi alwala re ni so gebi o shiri le ni bi hadithi Laqid bin Sabra tati shalai fun atele bakana fun awata je okunrin ki taba ni rugba ki afi omi sibi rugba wa kati awon mo ni ka wa bo eleyi na nkan ti o da ni ṣùgbọ́n gẹ́gẹ́ bí ọ̀pọ̀lọpọ̀ àwọn àfáà ṣe sọ kò ń ṣe ọ̀ràn èèyàn pàtàkì jùlọ fún ẹni tó bá ní irúgbọ̀n tí ó tíìkì tó ṣe pé ó máa ṣòro láti máa rí ẹran ní abẹ́ irúgbọ̀n yẹn àti ẹran ẹ̀kẹ́ wa sílé kò ń ṣe ọ̀ràn èèyàn ṣùgbọ́n bá ṣe pé òkè wọn máa rí ẹran ẹ̀kẹ́ wa ní abẹ́ irúgbọ̀n yẹn ó túmọ̀ sí pé irúgbọ̀n yẹn ni irúgbọ̀n tó fẹ́lẹ́ ni ṣerú yẹn tá a bá ń là ń ṣàlù àlá kadi ki omi kan awon afa soro nipa awon ahadisi to wa lori kebeya anabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam o man ti o manika re bo irun gbon re ni lati le fi ya so pe awon ahadisi yi ni won lala afia yi to fe gbadun ju nbe o na ni hadisi Uthman radiyallahu anhu bó ti rẹ pa àfa mi gbà pé àwọn hadithi ta bá wo lọta wo bọ gbogbo ẹ ta bá pa á pọ mọra wọn ó ní kówà that is ó lágbára so ṣùgbọ́n ká gbìyànjú fún àwọn ta jẹ ọkùnrin kí a fọwọ́ kan irúgbọ́n wa nígbà tí a bá ń ṣe àlùwàlá sílé jẹ lára wọn kan tí abarawa so nigbati an soro nipa oro yi bakana ta ban se alwala ka gbianju lati se nti a mo si isbag oni ka je ko mi de gbogbo bi ti e ki omi de ni bi alwala wa isbag ona meji la le tu si ona akoko ohun naa ni wipe ka je ki omi de gbogbo bi ti e ko de iru eni ti abu uraira radiyallahu anhu ti o ma se oni pe to ba n se alwala to ba fowo re yóò fọwọ́ yẹn dé bí kínú pé níbi ìgúnpá rẹ̀ yóò tún wá lé kó kọjá lọ sókè so that ó ṣúọ̀ pé kí ni ó ti fọ ibìtán ní kó fọ tó bá ń fọ ẹsẹ̀ rẹ̀ náà yóò fọ kọjá bí kókósẹ̀ lọ sókè tó fi hàn pé kí ni ó ti fọ ibi tó yẹ kó fọ ṣùgbọ́n yẹn lè wá bèrè pé ṣe ń tábù yóò rà ń ṣe yẹn ṣe nǹkan tó wá bá mu ni a lò bá mu torí pé oníkíní òun rí ànábì muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tí ó ń ṣe àlùwàlá bẹ́ẹ̀ òun rí ànábì muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tó ń ṣe àlùwàlá bẹ́ẹ̀ so ìkejì níbi isbag tó túmọ̀ sí pé kí wọ́n ṣe àlùwàlá dáadáa òun náà ni kí èèyàn ó ṣe é kọjá ẹyẹ ọ̀kan sọ́rọ̀ tí a fi bá a mọ́ lẹ́yọ̀ ọ̀kan kò ṣe é níbi méjì àbí mẹ́ta eléyìí kò ní jọ́ràn èèyàn máa ń sìn ṣùgbọ́n nǹkan tó dáa ni so ara isbagu náà ni lára àǹfààní rẹ̀ rẹ̀ ni pé tó bá dijọ́ ń gbé ní alkiyama ìmọ́lẹ̀ lélẹ́yìí ó jẹ́ fún yàn tó bá dijọ́ ń gbé ní alkiyama ìmọ́lẹ̀ ni ó jẹ́ fún yàn tó bá dijọ́ ń gbé ní alkiyama so eléyìí àwọn nǹkan tí abára wa sọ ní ṣókí òun nìyí bákan náà sọ̀rọ̀ ń pa etí méjèèjì ṣé ta bá ń ṣàlùwàlá ṣó dáa ká mú omi tuntun láti lè fi pa etí wa bá a ṣe fomi tuntun fi pa orí wa a ní èyí tó bá wù ká ṣe inú méjèèjì kò sí tí ó lọ ṣùgbọ́n hadithi tó sọ wípé etí méjèèjì ara orí ló wà ẹnu àwọn àfáà ó kún púpọ̀ sọ ọ̀pọ̀lọpọ̀ gbapá hadithi yẹn ò lálàáfíà ṣùgbọ́n yẹn ò túmọ̀ sí pé ìfi omi tá a bá lókun níbi orí fi pa etí kò túmọ̀ sí pé a lè ṣe kóra a lè ṣe fún àyè míì náà torí pé tó pàtàkì jùlọ òun náà ni kí omi ti kan bi tó yẹ kó kàn kómi ti kan bi tí ó yẹ kó kàn sílẹ̀ ní ṣókí àwọn kan tí abára wa sọ abẹ́lẹ́wọ̀n bá subhanahu wa ta'ala kí ó ṣàánú wa ó ṣe àlékún ìmọ̀nà fún ẹni kọ̀ọ̀kan wa ó fi ẹsẹ̀ wa rinlẹ̀ sí ojú ọ̀nà rẹ̀.